and now Evangelist David Shannon.
Good evening. If you will, open your Bibles to 2 Kings, the second chapter. 2 Kings, the second chapter. Last few weeks we've had several sick and several out of town for vacations, and we're glad to have those of you back that have been away, and we miss those that are away, but we hope everyone that is a member of the East Gaston Church of Christ that is healthy is here tonight if they're in town. And if not, let's give them a call. Let's give them a little bit of boost, a little bit of encouragement. Tonight we have a lesson that is somewhat to all of us, primarily to the young people, and even a little bit to the parents. But maybe it'll do us all good to listen anyway and see what we can learn from this story. I kind of thought about giving this little lesson a kind of a little riddle type title since it was for the children. And it's simply, what do you have when you mix 42 children, a bald-headed man with a bear? Two bears. We have a very powerful story is what we have. A story that can teach us a great deal about what God expects out of children. You know, very oftentimes I can think back at things that I did along with some other children, and at the time it seemed so harmless. And it seemed like nothing was wrong with it. It seemed like a little joke. And now I look back and I think how insensitive it was. How harsh it seemed, maybe the jokes we pulled or the things we said to one another or even to others. You know, there's two things that happen too often when children portray these attitudes. Parents and adults too often say, well, it's just a childish act. They're just in that age and they'll grow out of it someday. They'll mature. And they let it go on. Too often children simply say, I'm just kidding. It's just a joke. I don't mean anything by it, and they know it. But the truth is, by the biblical example we have, Jesus still holds children that are an accountable age responsible for their actions. We see that from Matthew the 18th chapter. We see it from many different passages in the New Testament. We see it even from this Old Testament example. In this Old Testament example in 2 Kings, the second chapter, we have Elijah and Elisha walking about. And it's about time for Elijah to be swept into heaven with the chariots of fire and the chariots or the horses of fire as well. Elisha says, Elijah, I want you to cast your spirit upon me. He says, well. He says, I'll cast my spirit upon you. I'll let it be cast upon you. If you're able to witness, if you're able to see me be carried up into heaven. Well, as they're walking along, they came to Jordan. Elijah reached out with a rod and he smacked the waters, and the waters parted and they walked across on dry land. Well, a little bit later, Elisha actually saw the chariots of fire come by and take Elijah into heaven. So at that point, he turned back and he walked back to the waters and he smacked the waters and they parted just as they did for Elijah. He knew then that he had God's blessing to carry on Elijah's work, to carry on to be a prophet. And so after this time, we see in the 23rd verse, and he went up from thence into Bethel. And as he was going up, by the way, there came forth little children. Now let's go ahead and stop here and say that many times in the King James Version, when it says little children, that is not what you and I would think of little children. Because we see also in Matthew the 18th and 19th chapter, speaking of little children that were old enough to believe and old enough to fall away from the truth. So we literally, and what you and I would call little children today, would be different from this. Probably a better translation would just be younger than adults. This could have been young teenagers or maybe even older teenagers, according to other passages where we see that little children did fall away from the truth. So there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and said unto him, go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And he turned back and he looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the woods and tare 42 children of them. This evening, let's learn, even as children, that God has never intended for children to be disrespected. We can't say it's just their age. We can't say, well, now it's something that children just must do and they'll grow out of it. The truth is, children of God must not do it. And they should never be allowed to grow into it, much less grow out of it. We need to teach our children respect. Our children that are old enough to obey God, and our children that are old enough to know right and wrong, should show respect. And any time a lack of respect is shown, we must realize that that is a wrong, that it is a sin, and that it's one that must be dealt with in the face of God. Here we see very, very sad three occasions of disrespect. The first disrespect shown to him, to Elisha, was a simple fact that it was because of natural defects that he had. It was not any kind of fault of his own that he was bald-headed, but yet the children made fun of him. You know, when we stop and we give this a sober look, it's a shame that children and adults make fun of someone, think less of someone or think more of someone because of natural things that are out of our control. When you think for a moment, and Matthew, who can take a thought and add a cubic to his stature? You can't. And that's what that verse is saying, is that we can't change the way we are. We can't just think ourselves into being taller or think ourselves into being shorter. We must, as Christians, rely upon the Almighty God. In that same respect, why would we want to make fun of someone out of something they can't control? None of us would want that to be shed upon us. How we need to show respect in this area. Also, they showed respect probably because of his age, in saying that, "Go up, thou bald head." You know, this is kind of a funny thing to me when I stop and think about it long enough. If we went up to almost anyone in the world and we said, "Do you want to live today?" Most people are going to say, "Yes, I want to live." They may not even enjoy the life they're living, but they're going to say, most people, "I want to live." Go up to them tomorrow. They may not be pleased with today, but they're still going to say, "I want to live." As a matter of fact, most anybody in the world, you could go up to every day and you could ask them, "Do you want to live?" And they want to live that day. "Do you want to live tomorrow?" "Yes, I want to live tomorrow." So what we're saying is, yes, I want to grow old. It's just the length of time until someone continues living that they must grow old. Why then will children sometimes turn around and make fun of the elderly, when in reality that's what they want to do, is to grow old? I think it's because we have failed to teach them the beauty in growing old. We fail to maybe show the proper respect, and they have failed to see the beauty and the respect that should be shown. How we need to guard against the disrespect. Also, another type of disrespect that was shown to Elisha here. Elisha was a prophet. He was a man of God. We might say he was of the prophetic order. And that would be very similar today in a way of allowing our children to make fun of any religious leaders, their teachers in Bible classes, their elders, their preacher, whomever it may be. If we allow the disrespect to continue, it's very similar in what has happened here. You know, in 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter, we have some commands that deal primarily with elders. And of course, these are written to all of us, but yet it's written to a young man, Timothy. And in the first verse, he says, "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren." In verse 17 it says, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and in doctrine." Brethren, are we teaching our children that? And children, are we obeying that? We must. Not if it's convenient, not if it seems like the thing to do, we must respect our elders. And it's that simple. And when we show a lack of respect, it's something we must answer for. It's not something that can just be passed on. It's not something where we can say, well, I really didn't mean anything by it. It's either respect or it's disrespect. And really the other things should not even come into play. Also, a second thing that I think we can learn from this story is that youth oftentimes echo their society or their home life. You know, it's amazing when you teach children, and I mean almost any age, from the little ones that are just beginning to learn how to speak all the way up to the teenagers. After you spend a little time with them, you start to hear their parents speaking through them. You know pretty much what kind of home life they have by the way if they're positive all the time or if they're negative all the time. Children that tend to criticize usually come from homes that are heavily into criticism. Children that tend to get along with other children tend to come from homes where their parents get along and speak positive. We need to realize children are not just learning from us. In most cases, children are literally becoming us. We need to guard against the way we speak and the things we act out toward one another. Our children are learning and probably becoming what we're leaving as an example. When we look at this particular occasion here in 2 Kings, we see that that society was dominated in Bethel by two different groups. There was one group that was God-fearing, the Almighty God in heaven. There was another group that very likely these children came from, and that was the ones that followed the rule of idolatry. Jeroboam's calf is who they worship. And it's very well the case, we don't know for sure by any means, but it's very well the case that these children were of the society of idolatry. And so when they saw a prophet of God coming by, they made fun of him just as they had heard their society do. And just as they had heard from their home life, they carried out in a more vocal way perhaps what the adults were afraid to say openly. That's very true oftentimes in our school systems today and in our colleges today, on the streets today. Many times our children are carrying out in a much more open way things that we're afraid to express as open. But yet, maybe, perhaps, we've taught them those feelings and we've expressed those to them. How we need to be careful and guard against these things. In Acts, the 7th chapter, we have a good example of this taking place when it says to these people, all their parents, in the 7th chapter, in verse 51, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in hearts and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost." Now notice what it says. You resist Him. Well, how do you resist Him? "As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by disposition of angels and have not kept it." Brethren, that's from generation to generation. And these people were becoming exactly what their fathers were. Their fathers had persecuted and had slain some of the prophets that prophesied hundreds of years before. And now these people were still persecuting Christians. How we need to guard against the fact that many times when we see disrespect among our young people, it could be because of disrespect we have shown. And it could be the sowing and reaping we have sown years ago and perhaps we're reaping now through others. How we need to guard against this and realize that it very well can be the case. Someone has once said, a son speaking of his father, "When I was young, I strived to stretch my steps to His. When I was old, I did." How we need to realize very oftentimes our children become what we are. not necessarily what we teach them to be, but what we are. It's amazing in studies of children that have been abused, many, many times they grow up, even though they hate being abused, they grow up to abuse. Children that grow up in homes of alcoholics grow up hating alcoholics. Many times as they grow old, they become alcoholics. It's also a large majority that come from families that are not faithful to the Lord's church. Even though they attend services while they're young, they will not be faithful for the long run. Brethren, we need to guard so strongly against trying to teach our children different from how we live. The third thing we can learn from this lesson tonight is not only that children should always show respect, and many times the disrespect they learn is from our society or our homes, but we need to realize that they must be punished just as any one that sins. You see, here this punishment seems very harsh. 42 children make fun of one man, and we don't know exactly how many or if any of them were killed, but it does say that the two bears came forth and tarried off with them. Imagine if they did live, that was an impression that stayed with them. Don't you imagine? Now we can't say, well, this was not God's plan. We can't say, well, God really didn't intend for this to happen. This was Elisha that brought this on. Elisha turned around and he prophesied the curse, we might say. He spoke the curse, but if it would not have been God's will, he would not have answered that curse in a miraculous way to send those bears. That was something that was left up to God, and God saw fit to punish. Today, as parents, I hope we see fit to punish. You know, in the last 20 or 30 years, there's been a strong movement to allow children to allow themselves to grow up. Don't try to help them grow up. Don't try to train them. Don't discipline them, whatever you do. Just let them grow up. They'll learn and they'll love you more. Brethren, that's not of God. That's not of God at all. In Proverbs 23rd chapter, we see that God says that if you withhold the correction, that you're endangering the child. He says the rod is what will deliver his soul from hell. How we need to guard against the fact of thinking that we love our children too much to punish them. The truth is, we may be loving them so much that we're condemning their soul. We need to realize that there are certain patterns that should be carried out. The punishment should always be appropriate. The punishment should never be in anger. The punishment should be consistent. Yes, there's a whole world of things we could talk about in parenting. But the thing that we will touch on tonight is that let's look to what the Word says to parents. Let's look to what the Word says for children. And let's believe it. You know, in 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, I think is one of the best verses for children that is in the entire Bible. Now, you'll recognize especially the first few sentences, the first few phrases here in 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verse 12. It says, "Let no man despise thy youth." And many times when we think of this verse, that's where our thinking stops. We say, that's right, don't despise them just because they're young. But there's a reason not to despise the youth that he's speaking of. It's not just because they're young, but because the youth he's speaking of are the ones that are an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Our children should be an example of believers. We are the believers at East Gaston. We should be able to pick out one of our teenagers and ask them why they're a Christian, and they should be able to be an example of us and be able to tell us why they're a Christian. Are we training them that well? Do they know the Word well enough to be an example of believer? Now, I'm not saying they'll know as much as someone that's been a member of the church for 40 or 50 years, but they are to be an example of believers. also in conversation, in love, in purity. How children need to realize that their age is never an excuse. Their age is never an excuse for ignorance. Their age is never an excuse for sin. Their age is never an excuse for the sin of disrespect. Tonight, how do we stand with God? I hope that we're setting a great example for our children, and I think we are here. But I think it's something we need to guard against. I think it's something we need to realize that it's not just the fact of, oh, well, maybe it's not the best example for the children, but in reality, it's a complete stumbling block for our children when we show a lack of respect before their presence. If you're not a child of God, why stop you? Show the respect that you should to God. Obey His Word. Fulfill His will in your life. If you become a child of God, but yet you've fallen, you know, even the older ones, we all have the ability to show disrespect. Do we love one another? Do we respect each other as we should? If we are not in a proper relationship with each other, we're not in a proper relationship with God. Tonight, we can change that. If you're willing to turn away from any wrongs in your life and come back to the Lord, do so as we stand, as we sing.